for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, December the 29th, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on healing of the prenatal womb.
I don't know, those of you know, whether you know it or not, but Meryl lives in California, right in the middle of those fires. 3 miles away, 5 miles away, surrounding him. So, Father, we just thank you that your angels are surrounding him and Barbara. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that Meryl and Barbara are in your refuge. Thank you that the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. Thank you, Lord, that if our ways please you, makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. We give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for what you're going to do. You know, it's amazing. Randy and Callie and I, and of course I haven't heard Nikki yet, but Randy, Callie, and I didn't even talk to each other, and the messages are all have to do with prenatal stuff. And I feel like that the Lord's really shown me through this teaching that I know I've been missing the mark, because usually we're dealing with people from the time they're born up to today, but it really starts in the womb.
That's right.
And so we're going to start dealing with womb things, because sometimes people get delivered from all kinds of things, but they can't get the victory, and it's because the womb experience hasn't been dealt with. So anyway, praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. God, we just thank you for what you're going to do. We just love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We thank you that you're the King of Kings. And, oh, Lord, how we thank you for our president. How we praise you for this man, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the way he loves America and for the things he's already done that has benefited us. Thank you, Lord, for his concern for the American people to put America first. Thank you that he has a heart for every nation to put their nation first. He's not trying to force himself on anybody. God, we just give you praise. Fill him with wisdom. Fill us with wisdom. Let the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We just give you honor and praise and glory for what you're going to do. Thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we're your workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Lord, you've been with us in every moment of our existence from the time we were conceived. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up all the events of our lives, all the negative things that have happened before your throne, and we ask you to bring them to the cross in Jesus' name. We lift up everything that's been planted in our hearts through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, through the things we've done, the sins we haven't repented of, the sins that have been committed against us that we have not forgiven. And Lord, the things that have been planted in our life through our womb experience from the time we were conceived, from the time our father's sperm met the egg in our mother, in Jesus' name. We became a living being then. And Lord, we were a person, even the minute we were conceived, we became a living person. And we thank you and praise you and bless you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Father, I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that your Holy Spirit move upon every heart. Father, I pray that you do a work by the power of your Holy Spirit in every life in Jesus' name. Thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. We take our seat in the heavenly places and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. And Father, even as we teach, I ask that you'll do a sovereign work. Give each person a sovereign gift of your grace to forgive, a sovereign gift to know your love and to know that you accept us, that we're not a mistake in the name of Jesus. We just praise you, Lord. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this meeting, spoken over our lives in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that a curse without a cause cannot light. You know, if you feel like you're being attacked, you need to ask God why. I like what Kelly said. You have to ask God why, because he's the one that can fix everything. If we're trying to do it ourselves, guess what? You're just going to keep taking another lamp around Mount Sinai. Just burning, spinning your wheels until you go to God. But the title of this message is Healing of Prenatal Wounds. And like I said, I never talked to Callie or Randy, but really we're teaching the same subject, but we're not teaching the same things, if that makes sense. Some of it. Praise the Lord. Callie went through a whole bunch of things today, and Randy did too, that could have happened to us in the womb. And as I was preparing this, the Lord really showed me how we as deliverance ministers have just really been missing out in not dealing with prenatal stuff, because that's where life began. That's the foundations. And today I want to talk about our personal spirit. You know, when I break soul ties, you've heard me use the term human spirit. Your human spirit and your personal spirit are the same. Callie was talking about the heart. She was talking about how that is your soul. That's the part that has to get redeemed. That's where you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I've taught it, the way I'm teaching it, is that it's your spiritual garden. There's things been planted in your spiritual garden that you're reaping a crop, a negative crop or a good crop. The Bible says, I believe it's in Luke 6, I didn't write down the reference, but it says, out of a man's good treasure, he produces good, and from his evil treasure, he produces evil. Well, the treasure is what's been stored down in your spiritual garden or in your heart. It's either good or evil. It'll come out your mouth. What's in your heart or your soul or your spiritual garden will come out of your mouth. The Bible says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. So all the evil thoughts you have, and you keep thinking evil things, you need to find out what was planted in your spiritual garden. And so today we want to deal with prenatal stuff. And God tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And one way we do this is to deal with generational iniquities of the forefathers, to deal with the sins that we've committed that we have not confessed before God. And you can be confessed up, and I'm confessed up today and prayed up like most of you are, but there's still stuff down in our garden that we don't see. And God doesn't show us everything at once. We couldn't take it. Deliverance is like peeling an onion. You peel off some layers, and guess what? He'll show you something else. And it's a process of, the Bible says, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so what a man sows, he's going to also reap. The scripture says, by your standard of measure, it's measured back to you. Whatever you give, you're going to get. And so I've had to learn the hard way. A lot of things that maybe bothers me about somebody, I either judge my parents for it or I did it myself. And so God lets people mirror what he wants to change in us. But we think it's the turkey in our life, and it's really something God's trying to show us. That's not to condemn anybody, but thank God we know that. Or if we don't know it, I hope you'll know it when you leave here. I'm thankful because it's caused me to deal with the difficult people in my life, to just let it go. The older I get, the more I see God's in total control. I'm fretting less because I saw that fretting can be a cause of glaucoma. And so that can cause pressure in your eyes. And when I fret, I'm really in pride because I'm really trusting myself or worried about what if this happens or what if that happens, and you get stressed out. And stress is a sin. God said he'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is not stayed on your circumstances, but when your mind is stayed on him because you're trusting in him. So one way we deal with working out our salvation with fear and trembling is to deal with the generational iniquities of the forefathers, things that have happened to us where people have abused us or where we've sinned that we haven't confessed our sin. God says, confess your sin. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and then to deal with what happened to us in the womb. You say, well, I was just a baby. You know, I don't really know what happened. Well, if you looked at the way you grew up, you've got a pretty good idea of what went on when you were in the womb. Is that right? So you can go by that. Think about how you grew up, the trauma you grew up under, what you grew up under, how your mother and daddy was. You know, I was ministering to someone, and later I thought about this. Sometimes a person has no hope. The only hope they have is to breathe their last breath, which is a spirit of death, a spirit of suicide. And the Lord showed me just when I went home a while ago after I had prayed with somebody, they had wicked forefathers, and they've had this propensity toward death. And it's because the Bible says the wicked, their only hope is the hope of dying, the hope of death. So if you come out of wicked forefathers, that would be one of the reasons why you're wanting to kill yourself or commit suicide. And so through this teaching, I've come to realize the importance of dealing with prenatal stuff. A baby in the womb, through his personal human spirit, or his human spirit, this is not talking about the Holy Spirit. This is talking about his personal spirit. You know, before you even come to Christ, you have a personal spirit. And then when you come to Christ, your personal spirit joins with the Holy Spirit. But there's still areas of our life that have to be worked out and changed because of the things that have happened to us in our lifetime. And I've seen people maybe get deliverance to a degree, but they can't ever seem to overcome. And it's because I feel like I know that in people I minister to, I haven't dealt with the prenatal stuff. And I plan to do that from now on. But a baby, through his personal spirit, understands far more than we could ever imagine him understanding when he's in the womb. The baby in the womb, through his spirit, can have a wounded spirit. And whatever happens to him in the home, whatever happens in the home happens to that baby. He knows what's going on. He knows what his parents think. He also hears what goes on around his environment. Not only he hears what his mother and daddy say, as his grandma and grandpa says, his aunt and uncle says, and if he grew up in a satanic covenant, if his parents were in the occult, he can also hear about the people that are coming to get him to hurt him. They program babies in the womb, in the occult. Satan programs babies. You know, if I was young and know what I know now, and if I had a baby, I'd be playing the Word of God in the nursery 24 hours a day, because you'd be planting seeds of the Word of God. But babies don't grow up in that kind of environment. And so that's planting seeds, but we want to plant the right kind of seeds. The wrong kind of seeds have been planted in a baby's life through what he goes through in the womb. And through his spirit can be wounded and can react sinfully against his environment. And you say, well, how can a baby commit sin? Well, number one, he's born in Adam. We're all sinners, right? But what I want to do is I want to prove this in the Word of God. But to sin is to miss the mark. So I want to give you some scriptures to back up what I'm saying, that babies can sin in the womb from the time they're conceived. Our spirits can be deceptive. Our personal spirits can be deceptive. Psalms 32:2, how blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven and whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. A person's personal spirit can waver from the truth. Psalms 51 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and Callie used the scripture. I think Randy did too. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. If there wasn't something wrong with my spirit, why would I need it to be renewed? Right? A personal spirit can be corrupted, and then God has the promise of giving us a new spirit. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you a heart of stone and give to you a heart of flesh and put my spirit within you. So that's why a person has to be born again. Now, there's people that accept Jesus just like they accept that Buddha really lived, or that Muhammad lived. They believed that Muhammad was real, that Buddha was real, that Jesus was real, but they'd never been born again. And so we're not talking about intellectual assent. We're talking about a genuine born-again experience. And if you've been born again, you know that you know that you know that you know, and you cannot doubt it, you cannot explain it. So if you've received Jesus as Savior, but He's not made Him Lord and been willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him, then you are, the Bible says, the devil and demons believe till they tremble. So you have to be born again. I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham crusade. I was baptized, but I really just took a bath because I wasn't born again. I wasn't born again until 5 years later reading the Word of God. The Bible says we're born again by the Word. I was not even attending a church. But my sister was going through a divorce, and so I knew the answers were in God's Word, so I began to read God's Word, looking for answers to help my sister. And when I got to the scripture, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, I thought, that's what happened to me. I didn't even know it. And my life totally changed. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still getting delivered every day. In fact, the closer you get to God, the more deliverance you're going to get. You think, well, it's just a one-time thing. I've already went through deliverance. No, no. The sanctification process is a lifelong process of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, you can't work it out unless you ask God to show you why, what you need to work out and how you need to work it out and what you need to work out and why you can't work it out. He wants to be the one to tell you. And so we've got to be born again. And that's why if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. New things become new. I used to curse like a sailor. My mother used to say, everything Jerry does, she does it to extreme. I break that curse off me in the name of Jesus. But where was that? When did I say that? Did it even... Wait.
Curse a lot.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Lorna. Jesus. She's not going to tell you everything she knows, okay?
Let me just say that she's human.
Absolutely, I'm human. Too human. You heard it said that you're so earthly. Heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, I want to be heavenly minded. Amen. Because when I get to heaven, that's going to be forever. This is just down for 107 years, however long I live. Amen.
Amen.
And so our personal spirits can be treacherous. That's when we need to be born again. Malachi 2, 14 through 16, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read the last line of verse 16 where it says, take heed to your spirit. Personal spirit is little s, not the Holy Spirit, that you do not deal treacherously, which means unfaithfully. Your personal spirit can be defiled along with the flesh. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The fear of God will turn us away from evil. Our personal spirit can lust and be envious. In James 4, and I didn't put the last part, but in James 4, in the King James Bible only, it says, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to do envy. So our personal spirit can be envious and can be lustful. They can be unfaithful. Psalms 78:8 says, they would not be like their forefathers who were stubborn and rebellious. A stubborn and rebellious generation whose heart was not loyal to God and in whose spirit was not faithful to Him. Our personal spirits can waver. Psalms 51:10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a steadfast spirit. Our spirit man, our personal spirit, and this is not the Holy Spirit, can sin from the womb. Psalms 58:3 says, even from birth the wicked go astray from the womb. The wayward, they are wayward and speak lies, even from the womb. And the New American Standard Bible says, those who go astray, those who speak lies, go astray from birth. Isaiah 48:8 is probably the most telling verse of all. It says, how treacherous are you? You were called a rebel from birth.
So we know that that can, all of that can happen. And not only just what happens in the womb to a baby, but through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. If the parents are rebels, guess what? That same spirit of rebellion comes on the kids. Psalms 51, 5 and 6 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from my mother's womb, from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth, O Lord, in the innermost part." Now, where's the innermost part? You desire truth in the innermost part. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. And so we can learn in the womb. Job 22:4. So the question is, what are we learning in the womb? I have a new great-grandson, and I have to brag on him. He's been turning over since he was 4 weeks old, and he's 7 weeks now, and he tries to talk to his mother. And this is not just a one-time experience. Anytime she says something to him, he goes, "Ga, ga, goo, goo." He's trying to talk to her. He's real responsive. And she reads to him all the time because she wants him to be smart. Well, she graduated from the University of Texas in 2 years with a 4-point grade point average. So he's a smart little baby. But anyway, she spends a lot of time with him. And I know she had read up on what's good for babies. And so when she was carrying the baby, the womb was friendly. And he has so much love. See, that makes a difference. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. In Job 22:4, it says, "The Spirit of God made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." James 2:26 says, "The body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." So when my physical body is dead, the spirit leaves. The body without the spirit is dead. So when my personal spirit leaves, I'm gone into eternity, either with God in heaven or burning hell with Satan. And so your spirit person cannot be killed. You can kill somebody's physical body, but you can't kill their spirit. It's going to live on for eternity. And let me just say this. We need to make sure that we're living our life in such a way that we go into eternity with God and not burn in the lake of fire. The Bible says if we don't produce fruit for the Lord, He cuts us off as a branch. And so that's one reason people have an early death sentence, is because of not being fruitful. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but when God cuts us off, He cuts us off. Job 32:8 says, "But it is the spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty that gives him understanding." So babies can understand in the womb. And Luke 1:41 and verse 44, it says, "Then when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leapt for joy in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she said, as soon as the sound of your greeting," speaking to Mary, "received my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." Now, why would John the Baptist rejoice when he heard Mary's voice if he didn't know who the Lord was? So you know they understand. In Luke 1:24, it says, "And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying," and I'm not going to go to read the rest of it. In Luke 1:56, it says, "And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home." Now, in Bible days, a woman would go into seclusion, and she would usually have a relative. She'd either go stay with a relative or have a relative stay with her, because she understood that a baby's character is formed the first 3 to 5 months in the womb. His character is developed. And so she would spend time in seclusion. The relative she lived with would do all of her chores, and she could just focus in on God, focus on the baby. She could just sing songs and meditate. But look what we do to babies today. I mean, poor mothers can't help it. This is not condemning anybody. But a mother that can't do that is preoccupied with so many other things, and that busyness even affects the baby, the lack of peace. If a mother doesn't have peace, a baby absorbs its mother's emotions. And is it any wonder why babies are colicky why they can't sleep, why they're restless, why they're irritable, why they cry all the time, why they have breathing problems and other, many other maladies because of what happened to them in the womb. Fear opens them up to fear. And a baby absorbs its emotions, mother's emotions. You know, my little Maylee, she was 7 months in the womb when her daddy was killed when his plane, he was a fighter jet pilot when his plane went down south of Japan. He was killed and my other granddaughter was about 7 months pregnant. And because Kylie went through a broken heart and went through grief, I mean, the baby could have a broken heart. Thank God for the thousands of people that over the internet were praying for her, because I believe that pulled her out of a bunch of stuff. But when she was real small, I noticed that you could talk to her roughly or kind of, and she would kind of like she was going to cry. And of course, my grandson and I have been praying for her, and I don't see that anymore. But there's grief, a broken heart. Those things have to be dealt with. I've ministered to people who were in the womb when their mother found out that daddy was committing adultery and mother went through a broken heart and went through divorce, and that opened them up to a broken heart. If mother has a broken heart, so does the baby have a broken heart. Modern research confirms that babies, they can hear, taste, feel, and learn in the womb. The womb experience shapes the child's attitudes, expectations about himself and about life in general. And so whatever happens to the baby in the womb is shaping his expectations, his attitudes toward himself, his attitudes toward life. If the womb is friendly, the baby is predisposed to be happy, to develop normally, to be contented, to be happy. You know, I was thinking about when I was doing this, I was thinking about my womb experience. I mean, I can't remember other than being a fat girl, a fat kid, the trauma. I mean, I don't remember going through trauma. My mother and dad never fought with each other. They loved each other. And I thought about my womb experience. I was born in 1939 when depression was going on. And I remember my mother saying, I've heard her say this many times over the years, we thought we were going to starve to death during the depression. Well, what that did was open me up to a fear of not having enough food. You see how that affects us. But if a baby's in the womb when mother and daddy are fighting all the time and screaming and hollering and yelling, you see how that opens the baby up to fear, even fear of coming out. If a baby knows that he's not wanted, he don't even want to come out of there. He'd rather want to stay where he's at. You know, if a mother and father reject a baby, it keeps the baby from bonding to the mother and father. And I've heard a story of a woman who was going to have an abortion, and her husband said, if you have an abortion, he said, I'm going to leave you. So she didn't have the abortion, but she didn't want the baby. When the baby was born, it wouldn't nurse her. So the nurse thought, well, maybe the baby just don't know how to nurse. So she put the baby on another nursing mother, and the baby just went to town nursing. But it took him back to his own mother, and he wouldn't even nurse because of rejection. And you see this sometimes in homosexual men. I think homosexual men reject their fathers at some point, and maybe it's because they feel rejected, so they reject their fathers. And so if a womb is not friendly, then a baby is predisposed to poor health, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of death, unhappiness, misery, sadness, restlessness, fear, irritability, discouragement, depression, despair, hopelessness, sadness, broken heart. It's opened up to all those things. Ambivalent emotions such as a mother not wanting to be pregnant or not liking to be pregnant can open the baby up to fear of delivery and fear of I feel like they're a burden, or they're born at a. It's they're just. Let's see, what's the word I want to use? Born at the wrong time, I guess. I don't know, the wrong word. if a parent worries over money instead of having faith that God's going to open up a way, the baby can open being up to fear that he's a burden. And, you know, people have had actual memories of birth trauma, you know, forceps being used. We don't think anything of nowadays of doctors doing sonograms, but that's an intrusion into the secret place or into the innermost part. When my granddaughters, all of my grandkids have had their parent, their mother had a sonogram when they were little. And this was before my grandson David was born, but when Kylie was 6 and Holly was 4 years old, I just, when I realized they were old enough, I led them in a prayer to renounce sonograms, broke soul ties, and dealt with it, and Kylie and Holly both yawned at the same time. So they got delivered from the sonogram. It's an intrusion, and I believe it's an intrusion into the secret place, and even cesarean birth. That's a trauma. Breech birth. You know, a lot of times if a baby is a breech birth, it shows the daddy that the authority of the home is out of order. And I've heard stories that Carol Balazs used to do home birthing and a spiritual home birthing. And I heard her say that when they'd deliver a baby that was a breech birth, they would leave the daddy in repentance and the baby would turn. Infants, and I've already talked about infants refusing their mother's breast. Certain sounds can unsettle an unborn baby. Quarreling, yelling, screaming, loud noises, evil music, rock music. You know, one of the ways the Satanists program babies in the womb, you know, we can program our babies with the Word of God, but one way they do is, and I don't know everything they do, but I know two things they do. They use drugs and evil music, demonic music. I know a particular person which can open a baby up to witchcraft and Jezebel control. I know a person that's been very controlling, and when her mother was pregnant, she did aerobic dancing to rock music up into the day the baby was born. And so that opened her up to control. And someday I'm going to get to share that with them, but now is not the right time. Sometimes we have to keep our mouth shut, right? And so when there's an attempt to abortion, a person can grow up with a fear of being killed, a fear of knives or whatever instrument the mother or they were going to use. And so opens the baby up to fear of death, opens it up to death, death wishes. Is it any wonder why babies are troubled and they can't settle down and have peace? Most of our problems go back to our foundational years, and the womb is certainly our foundation place. By the time a baby is 6 years old, a child is 6 years old, his character is pretty much developed, and by the time he's 10, it's set in concrete. And those things come out of the evil treasure of a heart if it's a negative thing. And that's why we have to come to Jesus. A baby within an hour of birth can recognize his father's voice or the voices of whoever has been talking to him when he was in the womb. Dan was telling me, I was sharing this with Dan, and Dan was telling me that when Jeremiah was born, the doctor said something, and Dan said something to Jeremiah, good job or something, and the minute he did, Jeremiah's head turned toward Dan. And if you've ever been around Dan, you see what a great dad he is, how much he loves his babies. But they knew to talk to the baby in the womb. Another man that used to be in my church, when he was born, his aunt and uncle adopted him, and he said, he wasn't until he was full grown that he learned that, I mean, they told him, but he said, I always knew that I did not belong to my aunt and uncle. He said, I always knew that. And then it was confirmed when he was a dad himself. And the Lord showed another man, and I'm just giving you examples, but another man would fight going to sleep. He didn't ever want to go to sleep. And when he got married, he irritated his wife because he didn't want to go to sleep. And so what the Lord showed him was that when his mother was delivering him, it was back in the day when they used ether, and they gave her an overdose of ether, and the mother was thinking to herself, what if I die? And so the Lord showed him that he had a fear of dying was why he feared going to sleep. Smoking also damages the baby in the womb and causes a deprivation of oxygen. More damaging is parents quarreling and fighting when the baby's in the womb. Parents fighting when the child's in the womb opens the baby up to fear, anxiety, nervousness, anger, strife, contention, rebellion, fretting, and you could just go on and on the stuff that's opened up through that. Babies will react with rejection to the parent who rejected them or didn't want them. Parents that are addicted causes the baby to be predisposed to addictions. And, you know, I know people that became addicts, alcoholics, because their daddy gave them, after they were born, their daddy would give them beer in their baby bottle. That's an open door. Besides, when a parent endorses a certain thing, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. For example, I know a particular man, and I'll just use him as an example. I don't know his name. I mean, I know his first name, but his ex-wife was telling me that he always was unfaithful to her. And then she said, and of course she left her husband because he was always unfaithful. But she said, my mother-in-law told me that his daddy was always unfaithful, but she said, I stayed with him. And so, why did I say that? I know why I said it. But for example, because the daddy approved of perversion, the son unconsciously, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like, the son unconsciously thinks God approves. So if daddy's an alcoholic and you're an alcoholic and you're trying to get over alcoholism and daddy approved of it, you've got to deal with the lie that God approves of it to even get delivered. So when a parent's addicted, the child can be predisposed to poor muscle tone, addiction. If a child's conceived out of wedlock, he's born with a spirit of shame because he's conceived in shame. He's born with a spirit of lust because he's conceived in lust. He's born with a root of rejection, and with that comes fear of man-pleasing spirits, fear of failure, all hundreds of fears that come with that. He's born with fear, lust, feels that he's always on the outside looking in. And the reason for that, it says in Deuteronomy 23, that an illegitimate child, a bastard child, a child conceived out of wedlock, even if the mother and daddy get married, and then even if the parent gets married, there's still that rejection there. It says in Deuteronomy 23 that an illegitimate bastard child cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. And the sanctuary of the Lord is like God's refuge, or it's like his presence. It's more real than this building, even though we cannot see it with human eye. You know, we take these verses so lightly when it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. That's a comforting verse in the days we're living in. You don't have to fear anybody killing you or hurting you if you're in God's refuge. So if people are killing you, hurting you, tormenting you, you need to find out, why am I not in God's refuge? How do I need to get in your refuge, God? But, you know, I live out in the country, and I'm telling you, a half mile from the road, I don't even have shades on most of my windows. And I don't have the least fear, because God is always taking care of me. He's always protected me. A person that's illegitimately conceived or rejected or not wanted feels like that he doesn't have the right to be, so he tries to perform to be accepted, and if he can find acceptance doing anything, he'll excel at something. He'll be a perfectionist, a football player, a perfectionist this, or a perfectionist student, or something like that. Or if he can't gain acceptance anywhere, he just says, to heck with it. They say I'm a rebel, I'll always be one. And so they just want to give up and quit. And that give up, quit attitude can also come in the womb when mother and daddy want to give up and quit and feel hopeless and sad and unhappy people. And so a child conceived out of wedlock has many, many wounds, as well as he lives under the shame of his mother and father. Nowadays, it's just a common thing. It's just amazing how many people that even buy puppies from me or buying it for their girlfriend. 60% of church members say nothing is shacking up. And God says, look, you're going to go to hell if you don't quit committing adultery and fornication.
Yeah.
A baby conceived out of wedlock could be coming out with a death wish, especially if mom and dad contemplated aborting him, wanting to die. You know, when you wish you were dead, guess what? You open yourself up to a spirit of death, which opens you up to sickness and disease. Different forms of illness. A baby that's conceived out of wedlock or conceived in rejection comes out with tremendous insecurity, insatiable desire to be noticed or have affection, to be loved. And my husband, who died 20 years ago, I can't believe I've been a widow 20 years, but 20 years ago when he died, he was an illegitimate child, and no matter how much I told him I loved him, he never believed it. And when I told him that I felt like that he needed deliverance and that his problem was that he was an illegitimate child, his comment was, oh, Jerry, I don't believe any of that. You know, it makes you sad when people you love won't listen. Praise God. If a child conceived at an inopportune time, their shame feels like he's inconvenient, feels like he's a burden, insecurity, shame, and all kinds of things. When a child is conceived after one or two miscarriages or after an abortion, when there's a miscarriage in the womb, the baby, the flesh of the baby is gone, but the spirit of that baby is still in the womb until the womb's been cleansed. And also, if there's an abortion, the dead baby's spirit is still in the womb. So the next child will carry the necromancy spirit of the dead baby. So, if you've had that, ask God to cleanse your womb by the blood of Jesus. Or if you were that child that was born after there was a miscarriage or after there was an abortion, then you need to break soul ties with that baby. And say if a parent wants a boy and it's a girl, or if he wants a girl and it's a boy, then that can open a person up to homosexuality. My son who died of AIDS when he was 25 years old, he told me a month before he died, Mom, I've always felt like I was a girl. And I can tell you, when they told me I had a boy, I wanted a boy the first time, but when my second child was a boy, the minute they told me I had a boy, it was like my heart sank. And why did I remember that? So I could take accountability for it. He has problems with his identity, homosexuality, lesbianism, masculine girl, butch girls, effeminate boys. And I can tell you that a homosexual male, that comes in through not bonding to his dad. It's normal for a child born a boy to bond to his mother for the first 2 or 3 years, but after that, if he don't bond to his daddy, it opens him up to a homosexual spirit. And I think the reverse is the same is true with a lesbian girl. Usually have mother issues. Opens them up to performance orientation with a sense of failure, striving, insecurity. When a child's given away in adoption, he knows it, and it's rejection, a spirit of abandonment. Every adopted child has an identity crisis, wanting to find their mother and dad. I think it was Randy that said they look for their mother and father. They want to know their mother and father. I have a friend who gave her daughter away when she was born, and later that daughter found her. And I'm telling you, it was the sweetest thing when she told me, I started crying. I have another friend who gave her baby away, and somehow there was a connection in the spirit. She was in a beauty shop or a nail shop or something, and her daughter began to ask her questions. And it turned out that was her daughter. I'll tell you, there's some stories like that that really touch your heart. And so through all these negative experiences, a person can be opened up to many demons and many demonic strongholds. Guilt, shame, loss, loneliness, depression, irritability, despair, hopelessness. A baby that's not breastfed, it opens them up to breast cancer. That's one of the roots to breast cancer. For example, a woman who is not nurtured by her mother and even breast cancer in men, but in a situation with a woman is not breastfed, is not nurtured, so unconsciously she turns the vows that, you know, I'm going to find somebody that'll take care of me and love me and cuddle me and nurture me, and she marries a man that don't nurture her, then she gets breast cancer and she's bitter toward the man, but it really goes back to mother, not breastfeeding. Hey, that's what God made them for, is to feed your baby. And so there's trust issues. If a baby's not breastfed, there's trust issues. Also breast cancer. Psalms 22:9 says, yet you brought me out of the womb and made me trust even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. And the good news is Psalms 27:10, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Hallelujah. We need to believe that. Psalm 68:5-6 says, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, his God and his holy dwelling. God gives homes to the lonely. He sets free those who are his prisoners, but only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. So we've got to get over our rebellion, otherwise we'll stay in a parched land. Psalms 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thoughts from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my laying down, and are acquainted, intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, O Lord, behold, thou dost know it all. In other words, I know he knows what I'm going to say before I say it. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. So how could you possibly think you're a mistake if God did all the weaving and putting together? You're not a mistake. You're born because God let you be born. In spite of anybody that tried to kill you or do anything, you're here. You're not a mistake. You just weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. See, God wants your soul to know that wonderful is his works, and you're his works. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. He saw you even in the womb. And in thy book they were all written, the days that you have ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand of the sea. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Oh, that thou wouldst slay the wicked. And I'm going to read the last verse of this here. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and deal and lead me in the path of everlasting. Lead me in the path of everlasting way. There's one of these verses that says that God, his thoughts towards you are more than the sand of the sea. The Bible says that when you talk to your children, you're to use the word of God when you talk to them. And so I did this with my granddaughters and my grandson when they were little. But Kylie, I went up to Maine to see them. They were living in Maine. And Kylie and Holly This is before David was born. We were walking on the beach, and I said, "You see, Kylie, God's thoughts toward you are more than the sand of the sea." For God, I said it the next year we were walking on the beach. She said, "Grandmother, did you know that God's thoughts toward you are more than the sand of the sea?" Now, I'll tell you why she said that. I've been praying for her for 46 years, and she's just 30. All of my grandkids and their mates, my descendants, have been prayed for 46 years already. It's a done deal. Amen? So if you're not doing that, start praying for your descendants right now. It's not too late. A minister that mentored me, he prayed for his kids and grandkids, and he said, pray preventative prayers. So I started praying for them 46 years ago. Psalms 139:24, and see if there be any hurtful way, and lead me in everlasting life. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who has no self-control. And self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes 12:7, and the dust returns to the earth, to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So when you leave this world, your spirit goes to God who gave it. Ephesians 2:10, for you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Well, how do you walk in them? You stay on the potter's wheel. He's the potter. You know, most of us are trying, we're so performance oriented, we're trying to turn the potter's wheel and do the work of the potter. But God's the potter and you're the clay. Have you ever seen the clay do anything? He just rests on the potter's wheel, right? That's a picture of coming under the yoke of Jesus. It's light and easy and you find rest for your soul. Did you know that it's a curse in Deuteronomy 28 where there'll be no resting place for the sole of your foot? There the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. This is a curse. And praise God, I'm going to keep working on it till the day I leave this earth. I'm not going to quit because I'm going to keep looking and overcoming because we're supposed to be overcomers. You know, if you didn't have something to overcome, how in the world could you be an overcomer? I heard Vicki say that. That's true. So we need to thank God we got something to overcome. All of us have got something to overcome. Amen? But the only thing you need to give up is your life that you might find it. even with your eye thing, you have to take that up the mountain. You know, Abraham took Isaac up the mountain. And I can tell you that is the perfect love that casts out fear. When you can take everything that concerns you, everything that hurts you, everything that worries you, everything that you think somebody ought to do for you, or anything you think ought to happen, or your future, or whatever, and say, Lord, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for this or that to happen, so be it, but devil, you're bound. Now, that's the perfect love that casts that fear. That's saying, God, I trust you so much with my life. You know what I need, who I need it, who I need, if I need it, when to give it to me. And it's like you have to let go of your life, Jesus said, that you might find it. Let me tell you something that will overcome hurt. It overcomes fear. It overcomes anger. Anything that stresses you out or bothers you, you just give it up because God is in control. He has ordered your steps. He scheduled every day of your life before you were even born. You are his workmanship. So get on the potter's wheel and let the potter do his work. He's the potter takes out the garbage. In the olden days, they had to dig the clay out of the ground and had rocks and sticks and weeds in it. But now the clay is modernized. But our clay is full of junk. So get on the potter's wheel, which is a picture of coming under his control, a picture of yielding to him, and let the potter shape you, form you, fashion you, beat the bubbles out of you, fire you, and make you the vessel that he created you to be. Amen? How sad to stand before the Lord and him say, you missed it. I don't want that to happen in my life. That would be the worst thing I could ever imagine, is to stand before the Lord and he'd tell me that I didn't live up to the measure of the stature that he had given me in Christ Jesus. So you know what? It's not too late. Moses was 80 years old before God began to use him. So all of us, I don't think anybody is here that's 80 yet? So, it's not too late. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God's got a plan for you. The plan He has for you is different than the one He has for me. He's got a special plan for you. He knew exactly what He wanted to create you for. Now let Him, don't waste your time being a couch potato. Don't waste your time with fruitless activities. Don't waste your time spinning your wheels trying to do something yourself. Get on the potter's wheel and let the potter do his work. And repent of your rebellion, even if it's subtle rebellion. You know, willful rebellion is, Lord, I know what your word says, but I'm not doing it. But the subtle rebellion is, God, I know what your word says, but I don't think you want me. It's still rebellion. If you're not on the potter's wheel, you're still in rebellion. And when you fall off, get back home. Confess your sin, get back home. You fall off, get back home, and you'll watch you'll fall off less and less. Now I want to pray this over you. Close your eyes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to give every person a sovereign gift of your grace to let them know they're not a mistake, that they're loved, that you call them into being at the right time, at the right moment, at the right place. Lord, to let them know that you prepared a way for them and you gave them life, that you didn't let them be killed, you didn't let them die, you gave them life. Lord, give them a sovereign gift to let them know that they're a privilege and not a burden, they're a joy and not a delight, they're your workmanship and not a disappointment. Lord, give them the sovereign gift of knowing that they belong to the family of God and are your treasure. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to grant them the revelation that you don't want them to be performers, but you want them to abide on your potter's wheel because you're the potter. Lord, grant them the revelation that you are the one and only, that you are their one and only glory. Destroy whatever lies that they may have received and accepted that would block their victory. Lord, grant to them and bring to the cross every resultant destructive attitude, expectation and personality, structure and habit. Lord, by your sovereign gift, I ask you, Lord, to let them know that you love them and accept them. I ask you to pour out your love on each person. Lord, give them a fresh breath of life to their personal spirit, their human spirit. Move upon each person with abundant grace so that each person can be enabled to forgive those who've wounded them or hurt them. Lord, bring them to rest in peace and harmony and wholeness to be all that you created them to be. I declare in the name of Jesus that they will have all their inheritance that you have for them filtered through the cross to clear all descendants of evil and every curse coming through their family's bloodline, and Lord, let it stop at the cross. And in Jesus' name, I have authority over all your power, Satan. I bind every lying spirit, every demonic spirit in Jesus' name. I bless their lives in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to enlighten their eyes. Lord, open up their hearts. Pray the eyes of their heart will be enlightened. Open doors for them to draw them to their destiny. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to place a mantle of protection around them for all their future lives, in Jesus' name, and the lives of their descendants. Now, I want you to think about what you know about your family that would happen in the womb and anything the Lord shows you, and I want you to just forgive each incident. Don't just generally forgive. Forgive each thing. Okay? In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Why have I not been victorious? Why have I lived in sadness, a wounded heart, a broken heart, irritability, wanting to die? Was my forefathers wicked? Was I satanically ritually abused? Was I programmed in the womb? Father, in the name of Jesus, you said, pray with me, you said, if any man lacks wisdom, You give, Lord, and Lord, forgive me for all the times I've asked and I've wavered, been like the ship driven of the wind and tossed. And so, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus for the truth that sets me free. Let me tell you something. If you don't ever hear God speak to you, you maybe not have been born again. Because the Bible says that God says, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. The voice of a stranger in the Greek means the voice of another, another voice. And you're going to follow another voice if you don't know what the Word of God says. Because God never tells you anything that contradicts His Word, ever. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to be born again. If I'm not, I want to hear your voice as your word says. And, Lord, I invite your Holy Spirit to possess my body. Forgive me for wanting to live after the flesh. Forgive me for living after the world. Lord, forgive me for not being willing to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. And, Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. In Jesus' name. So just go ahead and stand up. Have I already asked y'all to stand up? I don't know. I don't think I have. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show them what they know about what happened in their home and what happened in the womb, to forgive their parents. The best thing to do is just forgive them for each thing that you know about them and that was probably true when you were in the womb. And then just sit down when you're through. Lord, I forgive my mother and father and anyone that was in my environment that I heard do anything or say anything that was evil or do anything that was evil. Father, forgive me for fear that entered me in the womb. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for contention, strife, for not wanting me, for rejecting me, for being wicked people, for being heathens. I forgive them for their alcohol, their drugs. I forgive them for their occult involvement. I forgive them for programming me if they did. Lord, I forgive them for being worried, fearful. Lord, any spirits of death or cancer that came in me in the womb, I forgive them for being bitter. Any bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, contention, strife, rebellion. I forgive them for fighting with each other. I forgive them for not loving each other. I forgive my mother and father for being unfaithful. I forgive them for being treacherous and deceitful. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them for lying. In Jesus' name, I forgive them for being deceptive. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them for wavering from the truth. Forgive me, Lord. I forgive them for being corrupted. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask you to put a new spirit in me, a new heart. A new spirit within me. Give me a heart of flesh. Put your spirit within me. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for being corrupted. Lord, I want you to cleanse my conscience from all defilement of flesh and spirit. And I want to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Lord, forgive me for lust and envy. I forgive my parents for being lustful. Adulterous, perversion, perverted. I forgive them for alcohol and drugs. I forgive them for being irritable and hateful and hating me in the name of Jesus. I forgive my mother and father that my womb experience was not friendly, which predisposed me to sickness and immaturity. I forgive them for being sad, not going to you, not knowing you in the name of Jesus. I forgive my parents for not having peace. You said there's no peace for the wicked. And Lord, I've had no peace. I forgive them for a broken heart, not taking that broken heart to you to deal with it. I forgive them for not dealing with their sin at the cross. I forgive them for being suicidal and wanting to die. That the hope of the wicked is to breathe their last breath. I break the power of wickedness in the name of Jesus. I break the power of witchcraft and sorcery and control and Jezebel in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I forgive them for everything I learned when I was in the womb that didn't line up with the Word of God. Lord, I ask you to straighten out everything that got crooked in the womb. I forgive them for cesarean births. I forget, Lord, if there was miscarriages before me, I break soul ties with the miscarried or the aborted babies in the name of Jesus. Lord, I renounce the grief that came in at the womb
through mother and father having grief in Jesus' name. I forgive them for being liars, thieves, cheats, if they were. And whether your mother and father were or not, you had forefathers that probably were. Okay, so just do it. You're not going to, by repenting, you're not going to lose nothing. Okay? In Jesus' name, you'll gain. Lord, I ask you to create in me and pray with me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, forgive me for going astray, wickedness, going astray from birth. Forgive me for speaking lies. Lord, I renounce the wickedness that's come down my bloodline. Forgive me for being a rebel from birth. Forgive me for responding and reacting in a negative, sinful way when I was in the womb. Forgive me for making judgments against my mother and father. Lord, forgive me for not wanting to come out because I had a fear. I forgive them if they wanted to abort me in the name of Jesus. I renounce fear of instruments, fear of knives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Forgive me for telling lies. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father for everything you've shown me. Now, Lord, I ask by your mighty power that you move upon every life by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, to cleanse from all defilement. In Jesus' name, Lord, identify each person with everything that happened to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we just ask you, Father, to bless them, bless their going in, bless their coming out, bless them in the city, bless them in the country. I break the power of failure that came in through them feeling like that I'm a failure, I can never do anything good or right, that everything I do is wrong. That I'm just a total mistake. I'm a total failure. I break the power of those lies in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, if you don't move upon hearts, there's nothing going to happen in these people's lives. I just ask you to move by the power of your Holy Spirit upon every life in Jesus' name. I ask you to pour your Spirit out, Lord, in Jesus' name, upon every person. I pray that every person will leave this place walking in victory in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of defeat and failure to go now in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of hopelessness to go. Every spirit that tells them there's no hope, give up, quit, that give up, quit negative attitude, you come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out. Out. Spirit of pain. I forgive my mother and father for causing me pain in the womb. Lord, I renounce my mother's pain, my mother's sadness, my mother's pain, my mother's broken heart, my daddy's meanness, my daddy's unfaithfulness. I renounce it in Jesus' name. Spirit of abandonment. Every spirit that tells them there's no hope for them, that God's not going to help them, in Jesus' name, go now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Come out, Father. I ask you to move upon people in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're the one that told us to do these messages. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We praise you, Lord, for the victory that overcomes the world. Even Christ Jesus is our victory. We bless you, Lord. I command the victim spirit to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of fighting, warring, arm of the flesh, go now. Pain in the body, get out. Spirit of pain that entered in the womb, go now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. You come out now. Pain, leave in Jesus' name. Vexation of heart that came in the womb, go now. Vexation of heart. Depression that entered in the womb. Despondency, hopelessness, despair, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit of rejection, you come out now. We break curses of illegitimacy. Lord, I bring them into your refuge. I break every bastard curse off of them. I take the sign off their back that says, reject me. I break the power of the lie they don't fit in, that they don't fit in with anybody, that they're ugly, that they're dirty, that they don't have what they need to have. Hey, God, thank you that you meet all of our needs according to Christ Jesus. Lord, we get on the potter's wheel. We yield to you, God, the potter. You're the potter. We're the clay. We yield to you, Lord. We yield to you. Forgive us for trying to do it ourselves. Forgive us for being performance
Performance oriented. Thank you, Lord, that you died at Calvary, making us acceptable in Jesus' name. Spirit of horror, trauma, restlessness that came in the womb, upheaval, go now. Every lie that they should have been a boy. Every lie that the boy should have been a girl. We break the power of effeminate spirits, masculine spirits in girl, effeminate man in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of the workhorse, you come out now in Jesus' name. Sorcery, mind control, witchcraft, all spirits that came in through being programmed through drugs and alcohol, alcoholism spirits, drug addiction, we command you to go. We break yokes of bondage off their neck in Jesus' name. All spirits of breast cancer that came in through the lack of nurture, come out now. They forgive their mothers for not breastfeeding them in Jesus' name. Leave now. Allergy, sickness, infirmity that came in the womb. All spirits of pain in the body has to leave now in Jesus' name. Root of rejection, we tear you out now in Jesus' name. You have to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Inferiority. And come out, you spirit of inferiority. In Jesus' name, we are inferior. We have Christ Jesus living in us. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, lives in each person. As He, the Lord Jesus, is, so are we in the world. In the name of Jesus. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Lord, thank you that we're in the world but not of it. Thank you that we don't fit into this world and you never want us to. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We glorify you. We honor you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Broken heart, let it go in Jesus' name. Let it go. The spirit that causes us to hang on in Jesus' name. The spirit that would resist the Holy Spirit. You come out now. Rebellion, Antichrist spirits, you come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Depression, go. Despair has to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Spirit of abandonment that came in. Bitterness. I command the root of bitterness out in Jesus' name. Spirits of idolatry, come out. Spirits of hurt, broken heart, come out. Lord, I bind up their broken heart. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they might be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Lord, we rebuild the ancient ruins, the former devastations of many generations. We heal the breaches in the name of Jesus. Lord, we press them out. We bandage them. We soften them with oil. We command the fainting spirit to go now. Discouragement, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of poverty, spirits that keep them from getting a good job, in Jesus' name, you have to go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I take them out of those swallowed up places. They've been swallowed up by the enemy. I command you, devil, spit them out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let them go. All the demons in them has to go, the demons that have swallowed them up. For the word says, be sober, be diligent, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Swallow them. Spit them out, devil, in Jesus' name. Let them go. All spirits of a swallowed up spirit, you have to go now in Jesus' name. I command all spirits of denial to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Self-hatred, go. Self-bitterness, go. Self-contempt, go. Unforgiveness of self, go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You know, somebody told me once, why do you ask people to forgive them when they've been molested? They didn't do it. Well, what you're asking forgiveness for is your wrong response of letting the sun go down on your anger. Little kids don't know to go to God, so they let the sun go down on their anger, and that's what you're repenting of, the wrong response, the wrong reaction. So, Lord, we just praise you and bless you. We come to your, agree with me, we come to your throne of grace for help and mercy in time of need. We thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. We make you the Lord of our life today. And we, in Jesus' name, make you our healer. Yes. We receive you as Lord. Yes. We receive you as deliverer. Yes.
We receive you as our healer in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for all the layers that have been taken off today. We thank you for what you're doing. Spirit of trauma, come out now in Jesus' name. The spirit of trauma that entered in the womb, you come out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Accident prone, you come out in Jesus' name. Clumsiness, you come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, unloving spirit, you come out. Fainting spirit, you come out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Lord, enlighten their eyes that they might see. Lord, lest they sleep the sleep of death. The spirit of sleep, I command, I say, wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Let Christ shine upon you in Jesus' name. The slumbering spirit, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Self-sufficiency, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Self-help, performance orientation, religious spirits, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. The spirits of the turning the potter wheel spirits, get out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Every spirit that keeps us from knowing that God has begun a good work in us will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let me say this. We're saying what happened in the womb, but you still have to take accountability for your sin and how you've acted, okay? So we're not saying blame it on mom and dad. That's what psychology does. In Jesus' name, temper tantrum demons, come out now in Jesus' name. Spirit of abuse, victim spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. Leviathan, come out now in Jesus' name. Arm of the flesh, come out, out. Spirits of pride, leave now in Jesus' name. Warring spirits, you come out now in Jesus' name. Spirits of sickness, distress, disease, cancer has to go. Inflammation has to go. Bursitis, tendonitis, you have to leave now in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Praise you, mighty name. Mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give Jesus a praise. Praise him for what he's done. Praise you for what you've done, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, you are the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. We bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord, our strength, our rock, our fortress, our God, in whom we take refuge. Praise you, Lord. Self-pity. We command the demons of self-pity out in Jesus' name. Command you to go in Jesus' name. Suicide demons, you leave now in Jesus' name. Murder spirits, spirits of rage, murder, resentment, anger, bitterness, idolatry, hurt, go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. When it's your fault, take accountability. When it isn't your fault, just bless the Lord anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Love you. Do I pray for the food? Lord, we ask you to, we thank you for the food. We thank you that we have plentiful food here in America. And Lord, we just bless Rick and everyone in the kitchen. We thank you for food. We ask you to purify it and sanctify it. And Lord, we commend it to nourish every part of our bodies. Thank you for this camp. Lord, thank you for meeting the needs of this camp. And I want to say something. If you don't have a church and you don't tithe, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp could use your tithe. Okay? And they don't promote money. It's really cheap and inexpensive to come here. But if you have a gift, give it to Lake Hamilton, because so many people get so many lives changed here, get their lives changed. Amen. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.